recreation, education, hobbies. Now we might look and we say, well, we know what should be the answers here. Well, a lot of times we can know what should be the answers, but we don't necessarily answer the questions in those ways. And so there, the challenges are there. Into which order should things fit in our lives, and what takes priority over what? Some people have their priorities all mixed up. I find people in counseling situations and study situations, just in more casual situations, where they have tremendous emphasis in an area of their life that really probably should only get a more minor emphasis. But that really takes precedent. That's where they've set their priorities, and in some cases they may be kind of paying the consequences as a result, because they're not giving the proper attention to some other area in their lives. And so I want to ask us three questions this evening. The first one is, do you worship your work? I could ask that question and some might open their mouth and say, what? Are you somehow denigrating or demeaning work, hard work? Not at all. And I want to demonstrate that from Scripture. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning with verse 10, we read as follows. 2 Thessalonians 3, beginning with verse 10. Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica, and he says, "For even when we were there with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat." You talk about a hard lesson for our culture today. If we were to start preaching that in some kind of public way over the airwaves, and I'm not talking about in religious programming necessarily, but I'm talking about if that became a national message, particularly if it was brought into the political scene, and you had some politicians start to say, if somebody won't work, he shouldn't eat. We shouldn't take care of people who will not get out and work. We're not talking about people who cannot work due to some kind of physical impediment, or they cannot work because they're living in an area where they've lost their job and the economy has crashed and burned and they cannot find a job. We're not talking about those people. We're talking about people who could, are able to, but they will not work. Now, if they're not going to do that, we shouldn't feed them. We shouldn't take care of them. We should not enable them to continue in that ungodly lifestyle. And if you said that, then you'd really be destroyed as far as your political position would be concerned, because you can't talk about godly and ungodly except in some kind of politically correct fashion. But if you started preaching this, if you started advocating what the Scriptures say here, and this is God's word, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. Now again, understanding that he could work, but he simply will not, does not want to, wants somebody else to take care of him, family, friends, society, the government, whatever, then Paul says, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, and what is that disorderly manner? Not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. It is God's will that we work for a living. Even going back before sin changed everything, God put the man in the garden to till or to take care of the garden. He had a job right off the bat. And when sin entered the picture, part of the consequence of sin was that God said, now your labor is going to be less than 100% effective. You're going to have to work harder in order to accomplish the same amount. Now that's part of God's way for us to work. And so work is an important thing. It's an important discipline. It is God's will that we work for a living. If we go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we look beginning with verse 11, Paul also says that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside and that you may lack nothing. It is God's will that we work for a living. It is therefore a godly lifestyle that we work for a living. We need to understand that, we need to respect that, and we need to live by that teaching. In Ephesians chapter 4, and verse 28, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. So part of our responsibility is to take care of ourselves and our family with God's help and by his grace and through his blessings, as he has blessed us with the ability to work and has blessed us with the opportunity to have a job that can sustain our lifestyles. But also that we need to be able to help others when that is appropriate, when we have that opportunity and ability. And so that's part of how we need to work. To willfully disobey this instruction, to work for a living, when it's within our ability and our power to obey it, is sin. I don't think there's any other way that any other conclusion that we can reach. Again, that would not set well with the mindset of our culture today, but that is God's will, and we need to get back to God's will. Now, as important as it is to work for a living, there's still a difference between, and listen closely, there's a difference between living to work and working to live. A lot of people live to work. That is their driving, compelling, all-consuming drive in life. That's their purpose. That's their goal. That's what satisfies them, gives them fulfillment, enriches their lives, their work. And they do that even to the neglect of other people whom they need to be paying attention to in some cases. That's not where a person's ultimate primary mindset ought to be. That should not be the all-consuming thing in their life, simply to work all of the time. That's where they get all their fulfillment. That's not the way it should be. There need to be some other things that are also important in their lives that are also godly things. They need to be paying attention to those as well. We need to not neglect the one for the other. So there's a difference between living to work and working to live. Look at the example of the rich fool in Luke chapter 12, beginning with verse 16. Luke 12, beginning with verse 16. And Jesus is giving the account of this situation. And so notice what he says. The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will all those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Well, was there anything wrong, ungodly, in the man having a bumper crop that year? Not at all. Was there anything wrong, ungodly, in his having a position of wealth and prosperity? Not at all. The wrong was in his attitude toward what he had, what God had blessed him with. Now remember that all good gifts, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above. James chapter 1 and verse 17. So whatever we have that is good in our lives, and that includes all the material possessions that we would deem to be good, They're blessings from God, and we need to be properly thankful toward God for them, and we need to use God's blessings to his glory. The man simply took security, all security, it would seem, from the account, in his possessions, in his wealth. And that's where God called him to account. You're going to die tonight, he says. Then whose will all of these things that you have accumulated, all of this wealth, all of this material wherewithal that you've stored up, whose is it going to be? Not yours. You're not going to take one bit of it with you. You're going to leave it all behind. Now, he might have been secure materially, but the indication is that he was not secure spiritually. And so we've got to get our priorities straight. We need to work for a living, but we need to serve God first and foremost. And always remember that whatever material blessings we might receive, they are blessings from God. And we need to recognize that and properly appreciate them and live in a way that demonstrates our thankfulness for them. And ultimately, that means everything that we are and everything that we have should be dedicated to God. Remember that what Jesus said is as the great commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your being, everything you are and everything you have. We should not be laying up treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. Now, I'm not saying that it's wrong to put something away. But if that is what your real treasure is, again, your sustaining possession, then your thinking, your priorities are out of line. Those are blessings from God. Use those blessings to God's glory and in his service. Lay up your treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consume, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasures are, there your heart will be also. Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning with verse 17, Paul instructs Timothy, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works. Now think about that. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. I was preaching in a gospel meeting one time, a number of years ago, and it was in a congregation that I knew very well. I was in the home of a family that I knew very well. In fact, the particular man who was the head of the house there, we had been friends. We had done a lot together in serving the Lord. Spent a lot of time together in past years. And while I was there, I remember he was talking about how they had just invested in Walmart stock. And he was telling me about how it had split in previous days and what it was valued at and how good it was and how it was growing or had grown and everything. And he was feeling good about that. I got the impression he and his wife both felt good about having invested in that particular stock. During that gospel meeting, the stock market crashed. Walmart stock lost a tremendous amount of value. Uncertain riches. What does Paul say there? Verse 17, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Now, all of that came back, and that's the way that kind of situation works. But if all of his trust had been in the Walmart stock, you see, he would have been devastated. Devastated. But of course, I know that he was a man of God, that he lived a godly life, and his priority was in serving God and being right with God. But there's just an example. That kind of example could be repeated over and over and over and over again and will continue to be so, I suspect, until the Lord comes again. So you need to ask yourself, do you worship your work? And if you do, your priorities are out of line. Second question, do you work at your play? Boy, we're there today. You talk about a culture that is consumed with recreational pursuits of all kinds. Think about everything that is there. The recreation business industry has become big, big, huge business today. Just enormous. And it seems to be getting bigger all the time. Just think about all of the electronics gadgets that we have at our disposal today. And we can have home theaters. Now, I'm going to date myself just a little bit, but those of you who are going to be kind of chuckling with tongue in cheek, you remember this. And so don't lie like you don't know what I'm talking about. Do you remember when there were three channels? That's not just on the TVs where the homes didn't have cable. Excuse the poor grammar, there weren't no cable. Three channels, and they went off at midnight. That was it. Midnight, they were done. The news broadcasts lasted 15 minutes. 30 at the most, once or twice a day. And I remember Saturday night, I think it was NBC, it was so special because they actually showed not a current movie, but a movie that was supposedly a big movie that had been in the theaters maybe just 5 or 7 years ago, and they called it Saturday Night at the Movies. And boy, we'd get around the TV set, we watched that special movie. It was only 5 years old, 7 years old. It was really something. Now we've got movie channels left and right. We've got all kinds of sport channels. If you like to fish, you can go to the fishing channel. If you like to golf, you can go to the golfing channel. If you want to watch soccer, you can go to the soccer channel. I don't know what all there are. You know, you've got baseball channels, you've got football channels all year long, on and on and on and on. You can have your own home theater in your home with the big screen. I don't know how big they are now. You can have surround sound. There was none of that not very many years ago, and I don't mean in ancient ages either. I didn't mean not very many years ago. You can watch your movies anytime you want. You can have your whole library of movies if you want. But then you've got golf courses all over the place. You've got baseball fields. You've got little league baseball leagues. You've got softball leagues and girls' softball leagues even. You've got soccer leagues and associations. And you've got tennis associations and basketball leagues and football leagues for the little ones all the way up, all kinds of recreation. And then you've got hunting and fishing and on and on. The recreation industry is huge. You've got gyms everywhere. They keep telling us how out of shape we are and how fat we are. How can that be with a gym on every other block almost, it seems like? And yet, they tell us that's the way we are. All kinds of recreational pursuits. Don't let your recreational pursuits interfere with serving the Lord. Are you working at your play? In Mark chapter 6, let's turn over there and begin reading with verse 31. Mark 6, beginning with verse 31. He said to them, Jesus said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. He's talking to his apostles. For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. We all need to come apart for a while. We all need some recreational time. I do, you do, everybody does. We need some time to just kick back, to chill, if you would, to not have to be concerned with all of the pressing demands of work and everything that needs to be done. We need to be able to have some time just to relax and recoup, recharge. Recreation is supposed to mean, at its root, recreating. But we have actually ended up creating a new kind of creation, and it's the recreation itself. But we need that time to recreate. And so Jesus told his apostles, come apart by yourselves to a deserted place. Get away from the crowd. They're pressing on us. You don't even have time to eat. You need to take some time. You need to relax. You need to rest. You need to recreate. But then if you start reading with verse 33, they got right back to work after that. You see, the recreation was not their work. The recreation was a little break from their work. And then they got back to work. The work at hand, what needed to be done. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we look beginning with verse 7, we've looked at this particular text a number of times in the past. Paul says, reject profane and old wise fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. We need to understand that it is important we take care of our physical bodies. Our bodies are a blessing from God. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that we're the temple of the Holy, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit if we are faithful Christians. And we need to take care of our physical well-being. But, he says, now while bodily exercise or physical exercise profits a little, it has its benefit, its good effect, he says godliness is profitable for all things. And it'll help us not only in this life, but it'll prepare us for the life to come. We need to make sure that we keep our priorities in line. We need to make sure that we don't get so caught up in the recreational pursuits that we let them crowd out our time, our energy, and our focus on serving God. Because ultimately, we've got to make sure that we serve God as we ought to. The Hebrews writer says in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We need to make sure that our spiritual being is exercised properly, that we have developed the proper spiritual muscles, if you would. And that's not going to happen by accident. If you want to build yourself up physically, you know you got to do the time, you got to put in the effort, you got to do the exercises, you got to change the lifestyle, how you eat, how you live, and so on. The same thing is true and so much more important when it comes to your spiritual development. If you want to be strong spiritually, you've got to put in the time. You've got to exercise unto godliness. You got to spend time in His Word in prayer. And just as you got to get into the gym or wherever it might be where you've got those weights or that equipment whereby you're going to exercise and build up your cardiovascular system and the muscles and tone up, you got to do that spiritually. You got to get active, serve God, do what you're supposed to be doing, teach the Bible class, make the visits, put in the study time, go to God in prayer. Make sure that you've got your priorities straight. Don't worship your work. Don't work at your play. And then the third question, are you playing at your worship? You better make sure you're not playing at your worship. We need to be focused to the point that everything we do in our lives is guided by our dedication to God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Is that your focus? It needs to be our focus. It needs to be our priority. Number one priority. Bottom line, we need to live in such a way as to bring God glory. How we live, how we talk, how we act, how we think. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, similarly, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Verse 23, whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men. Our lives need to be focused on serving and pleasing God and living in such a way that we can be assured that God will give us that eternal home in heaven. In fact, as the Apostle Paul put it in Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 1, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, that is your lives, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, be transformed. Not conform to this world. Present your bodies, your lives as a living sacrifice. Christ died on that cross for us. Paul says God wants us to live our lives for him. Living sacrifice. That needs to be our focus. Live our lives for God. Again, doesn't mean we don't need to work. We've seen that we do need to work. Does it mean that we can't have some fun, can't have some recreation time? We've seen that that's profitable to the degree that it should be profitable. But we need to keep the priorities straight and remember that those are not the most important things in our lives. We need to focus most of all on serving God. We can serve God through our work. We should. We saw that. We also can serve God by taking care of ourselves to the extent that we're stronger, we're healthier, we're able to do more in his service. But the service, the worship, the dedication, that's number one. That's the priority, or it should be. In Matthew chapter 4, beginning with verse 18, Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they immediately left their nets and followed him. Priority. Priority. They follow Jesus. When we come to the 22nd chapter of Matthew, Matthew chapter 22, and we look beginning with verse 37. Again, notice the text that we alluded to earlier. When Jesus was asked, what is the great commandment in the law? He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. In other words, with everything that you are, everything that you have, with all of your being, you need to serve God. First and foremost in our lives, you need to serve God. That needs to be our number one priority. And when it comes to making up our minds as to whether or not we're going to be in church services, and I know I'm speaking to a group here that probably has resolved that for the most part in your lives, But we need to be examples to those around us, and we need to care about our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to make sure that we continue always and that we exemplify this dedication and that we can encourage others to take up this line of dedication, this priority in their lives. We need to be with the church when the church meets. We need to worship God regularly. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23, we're admonished to hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering. That is the confession of our faith in God and in Christ as God's Son, our Lord and our Savior. Without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. So we need to think about our own spiritual well-being, but we also need to consider the spiritual well-being and needs of our brothers and sisters in Christ. And how can we see to both needs, our spiritual well-being and that of our brothers and sisters in Christ, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but all the more as you see the day approaching? Well, we need to be together with our brothers and sisters in Christ. It is important for them because we can be a strength and an encouragement to them, and we need to be. And it is important for us because we need to be under the sound of God's word. We need to be worshiping him and gaining that strength and also showing him our devotion and dedication. And we need to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ for our benefit so that we can gain from their strength. We need to help them and encourage them, and we need that encouragement and help from them for us. All of that is important. So the three questions again. Are you worshiping your work? If you are, your priorities are out of whack. The second question, are you working at your play? Again, if that's the main thing in your life, the main focus and drive, your priorities are off. And then the third and most important, are you playing at your worship? Is your Christianity just, oh, something that is there for a convenient time? Is it something that does not take precedence in your life? It's not a priority. It's there when it's convenient for you or when you need it, but when you want to do something else, it's set aside, put on the shelf. That's not dedication to God. That's playing at your worship. We need to make sure that God comes first. How important to you is your Christianity, your commitment to Christ? How important to you is your soul? How important to you is being sure of eternal life with God and Christ in heaven? Profound questions. Questions we all need to be answering on a regular basis to ourselves. And questions that we need to be living the answer to in our daily lives consistently, day in and day out. As I've tried to emphasize over and over and over again, our faith for the faithful, dedicated Christian cannot be a part of our lives. Our faith must be our life. And getting to heaven is not another goal for life. Getting to heaven is all that matters. Are you living that way? Is that your focus? Is that your priority? Are you living in such a way as to give God the glory in your daily life? Are you living your life to the Lord? If you've not yet become a Christian, then the answer to those questions is automatically no. And you need to get into God's Word and learn what it says as to how to become a Christian. We'd love to help you if you'll just ask us. If you know what you need to do and you're ready to repent of your sins and confess your faith in Christ and surrender to Him in baptism for the remission of your sins, then we encourage you to take that step this evening. If you need to study further with someone, ask one of us. We want to help. If you're a Christian who has slipped back into unfaithfulness, back into sinfulness, back into the ways of the world, then repent of that and seek God's forgiveness in prayer. If you'd like us to pray with you and for you, or if that's what would be appropriate, please step forward and let us know. Again, if you need to study further, let one of us know so we can help you. Let's make sure that we set our priorities proper, that we are focused on getting to heaven, first and foremost, serving God faithfully, dedicated, committed all along the way. If you need